This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Adam Hogue says...
Adam Hogue, Bears Insider.
What's up, everyone? My name's Adam Hogue. This is the CHGO Bears Podcast.
Host of the Hogue and Johns Podcast.
I've said this a few times. Ben Johnson does not seem like a first-time head coach. It's just like that's not the vibes that we've had with this coaching staff coming in.
Adam Hogue.
Adam Hoagie or Hogue, excuse me. I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
On 670 The Score.
Joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline, he is the NFL analyst for CHGO, also the host of Hogue and John's Bears podcast, Adam Hogue. Welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? Gabe, Kate, how you doing?
Hanging in there. Yeah, it is. Gabe Ramirez, Kate Constable filling in for Raheem Harrison Grody here. Let's just jump right into it, man. I we're trying to have a positive spin on the show today, Adam. I feel like a lot of people in Chicago media this week, it's like, why don't you trust the Bears defense? Damn, that's what Rami said earlier, and I don't want to quote that specifically. But, you know, why do they need to win this game? Like, it's just so negative. So I want to take a more positive spin, maybe with some of the questions that we're asking. I'll start with the Caleb Williams, right? Because the negative question would be, you know, you talked about his growth, but what still scares you about his game when it comes to the playoffs? But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you, you've talked about his growth, Adam. So what gets you excited and gives you hope with Caleb Williams' game when they approach this last game of the season to head into the playoffs?
Well, actually, I think the questions are whether positive or negative are related, because what gives me hope is that if you had asked me the negative version of that question, I would have said that nothing really scares me right now. I just think he's still got some areas to improve, and maybe you can get it. Still see an uptick in accuracy here and there on some throws, but I don't really see anything he's doing right now that's concerning. Like, there's not an area of his game where I'm like, oh no, if you put him in this position, he's going to do something terribly wrong. He takes care of the football. All the pre-snap issues, but pretty much most of the pre-snap stuff, which coming into the season was a big concern, not just for us, but also inside the building, what he was going to be able to handle. And we saw that play out the first month of the season. It was rough at times, but that's pretty much gone away. Now, are there moments where, like, even on that last play of the game against 49ers, play call comes in late? Does a more experienced quarterback maybe get you into something better, or sort of just freelance and make the mistakes from the coach maybe better, or, you know, make everything right? Yes, maybe a Matthew Stafford or something like that would do that, because they just take charge in those moments. But that's a little asking a little bit too much of him at this point in his career, still in year two. So I don't really have many concerns. I think he can put the Superman cape on at any time, be Iceman in the fourth quarter. I think that's one of the things you got to feel really good about, actually, if you're a Bears fan, that no matter what's going on defensively, no matter what the scoreboard might say late in any of these playoff games coming up, or even Sunday against the Lions, because I think it might be a close game, you believe in Caleb Williams to get you at least in position where you're going to have a play like you did against the Packers where they lost, or you're going to have a play against the 49ers where they lost. Even in the games where they've lost, he's put you in position to at least have a chance there at the end.
And we've talked on the show a lot about Bears fans thinking that the Bears are just automatically going to go into Soldier Field this weekend and beat the Lions. And as someone who covers the team more objectively, like, do you feel the same way that this is a game? I guess you just said that you think it's going to be a close game. Like, why should, or why is it okay for Bears fans to feel as confident as they do?
Well, I think you should feel confident in that this is a game you should win, and I do feel confident that they ultimately will pull it out, but I don't think it's going to be an easy game. I think the Lions, you can look at advanced metrics, you could look at like Vegas power ratings, why is the spread only 3 points, like however you want to look at it. I like to just turn on the tape and see that they still have plenty of good players who play hard and are going to play hard for Dan Campbell, especially going up against Ben Johnson in a Week 18 game where they're playing for pride. And pride is basically, pride and grit has been everything that Dan Campbell has sold in Detroit. So if you think that they're just going to lay down, I don't see that happening. I think they're going to play really hard. I think that the Bears are going to have their hands full at times, and I think that they have plenty of question marks on defense where you start looking at just from an X's and O's and matchup standpoint. You still got to find a way to stop Jahmyr Gibbs. It sounds like Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to try to go and play despite playing hurt, and he's got some things to play for, whether it's incentives or trying to be an all-pro this season. So I think individually there's still a lot on the line here for the Lions, and for the Bears, there's a lot on the line that you want to go in the playoffs doing what Ben Johnson's been preaching, which is playing your best football. And if you do that, where the state of the Lions are in, you should win the football game. But if you don't, then I think it does rate. We'll be sitting there on Monday talking a lot about, okay, well, how well are the Bears actually playing going into the playoffs? Are they playing their best football, which is what Ben Johnson wanted? That's why I think this is actually, while there's not a ton on the line and maybe the Eagles aren't going to play their starters and basically hand the Bears the two seed, there's still a lot on the line in terms of how you're playing going into what's most likely going to be the third game against the Packers, the rubber match next week, while they get to sit all their guys this week against the Vikings.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, having to face that team for the third time. This segment with Adam Hoge is brought to you by Four Seasons, your trusted local experts for heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electric, and generators. I know on your podcast, you and John talked a lot about sustainability. What part of this team do you feel like is most sustainable in the playoffs when you're looking at, you know, what this team has been able to do well in the last several weeks?
Oh, I think number one's coaching. I think when you've seen what Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, and then that trickles down to the assistants, and that could change from year to year. I think the Bears are fortunately in a spot where they're not going to lose coordinators, but they might lose Al Harris this offseason, right? Like, there's things like that that are going to change from year to year. But when you ask me going into the playoffs, man, I feel pretty confident they're going to be able to put the coaches are going to be able to put these players in position to have success. That's really been a constant all season. Are they perfect on defense? No, they're not perfect on offense, quite frankly. Like, they've had very few games where they've actually put together four quarters of consistent offense. But you trust the fact that they're going to get in there, turn the page, usually some point on Monday afternoon. The coaches are going to be in there Tuesday on the players' off day, and they're going to be grinding away and coming up with a game plan that is going to put the Bears and give them a chance to have a chance to win the football game. That's one thing that I really like about Ben Johnson. I think he's proven as a head coach, still in his first year, that he really does believe that each week is its own thing. It's like its own season. And so if you're just going to be rigid and you're going to be like, no, this is what we do. No, you got to go into each week and understand the opponent and the matchups and how you got to change things because that's what this league really is. And I think that this coaching staff is proving that they've been able to do that. And that'll be the case no matter who they're playing in the playoffs. So that's the one thing that I think is a constant that you feel pretty good about going into the postseason.
Adam, how important is it this week that Caleb Williams reaches 4,000 passing yards?
I don't necessarily think it's super important. I just think it would be a really awesome storyline and kind of the cherry on top of what's been a really fun year. And honestly, we were talking about this on Hogan John's this morning. The way this season's gone, I almost expect it to happen. Like, it just feels like the way things have broke for the Bears this season, and some of the ways in which they're in a very important sense breaking through in the NFL. What I mean by that is, like, as much as it sucked that they lost to the 49ers last week, I came away going like, wow, this just verifies what we thought. Like, they have this head coach quarterback pairing, and that's what you need in this league to have success for a long, long time. And so sort of symbolically to get to 4,000 yards and not have that something, I don't think it necessarily hangs over Caleb Williams, but it would be nice to just kind of check that box so it's not something we're talking about again next year, because then all of a sudden it can turn into like something that is hanging over the offense. Like, oh, they just can't quite get over this hump. So to knock that out in week 18 right now so it's not a storyline going forward, I don't think it's the most important thing in the world, but it would be nice to have that happen. And 271, man, if you watch some of these games and watch some of the, you know, watch the tape and some of the missed opportunities every single week, whether it's the receivers dropping the football or, you know, even just Caleb like missing Devin Duvernay coming across the field that may have been a touchdown. I don't know if he scores or not. I know it would have been at least 20 or 30 more yards. And every single game has had like two or three plays like that baked into it where I'm like, man, he probably should have hit 4,000 yards 2 weeks ago. But I think it's on the table this week. I think it actually could happen.
Yeah, if Alameda Zacchaeus and Roma Dunze might have had some of those catches, it might have been there already.
100%. Right,
we're talking to Adam Hogue from CHGO here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez along with Kate Constable filling in for Raheemy Harris. And Grody, you know, you mentioned the wide receiver, so I got to talk about it. Obviously, Roma Dunze been out quite a few games now, and they're assuming he's not going to play this week. I often think about chemistry, right? And obviously Caleb and Rome have their own set of chemistry points there for this team. We've seen it throughout the season, but the offense look good in the last couple of weeks, right? Where you subtract a piece and then all of a sudden you see DJ playing better, Caleb moving the ball like he's always has. Any concern for you whatsoever, Adam, with Rome just coming back for the playoffs and things are supposed to just, you know, fall into place as if nothing happened at all for the last several weeks?
My only concern is that I think it would be a little bit naive to think that he's just going to be 100%. You know, I think really if you look at, and I'm a huge Roma Dunze fan, I like the pick and I still think he's going to be a really good player. You know, early in the season, he looked like that guy that was about to blow up and become, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the league, which should be something that we talk about and is on the table for a guy that was a top 10 pick, right? So, and then, you know, whether it's injuries or just some of the lack of chemistry within the offense, because it seems like Caleb and Rome have chemistry. It's just kind of making it all fit together as a puzzle piece. It just slipped. It started slipping as the season went along. And then it was really the Bengals game for me where I was actually watching that tape going, I don't think he's 100%. I don't know exactly what he's dealing with, but something looks different to me in his route running. And then sure enough, he started popping up on the injury report. Remember, before he actually got sidelined, he was on that injury report. I think at one point it was called a heel. I think at one point it was just a foot, like whatever they were listing it as, he was dealing with it. And then they finally identified that, oh, this is a stress fracture. Then they rush him back a little bit too fast, suffers a setback. So it just seems like it's been one of those years that's sort of been lost a little bit when it was so promising earlier in the season. I think that they learned their lesson from trying to get him out there too soon. And on that really cold day, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, to have him out there and he suffers that setback. So I think now they're being overcautious in a good way. I feel like he maybe could even play this week, but they're not even having him practice so far. We'll see about today. And I don't think that they need him to play this week. But to also think that he's just going to come back against the Packers next week and be 100%, and, you know, whether that's the foot alone or him just getting back into a groove from a playing standpoint, that's kind of asking a lot to me. I do think, though, when you see Luther Burden take the steps he's taking, and I do think DJ Moore last week was really hampered by the flu. I mean, he was, let's not forget, he was playing that game very sick. So I as a piece, putting it all together, especially with Colson Loveland, I think they're going to have plenty of firepower for the playoffs. But do I think Roma Dunze is going to come back and have 10 catches for 100 yards against the Packers? No, I don't.
Adam, I mean, speaking of all the different pieces that contribute to that offensive firepower, whether it's Luther Burden at times, Colson Loveland coming on later in the season, DJ limited time in some games, and then other games he has a massive, obviously against the Packers, play to win the game. All those different things offensively, whether it's the tight ends or the receivers, how much of a luxury is that for this Bears team to have? Whereas if Rome doesn't play this week or isn't 100% going into the playoffs, the Bears still have plenty of options to go to that you can really rely on.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you've seen that. I'll even throw OZ in there. I mean, Olamide Zaccheaus has had some frustrating moments this year, I know, but the fact that you have a guy that can play every position out there and is a veteran and knows the offense is a luxury to have, because not every team has that. Individually, all of these seasons have been sort of their own story and frustrating at times, but at the end of the day, this is a good problem to have when you're talking about, oh, we got to get DJ going more consistently, or we got to get Rome, ascending to be that number one pick you're supposed to be. Meanwhile, Colson Loveland and Luther Burden have come on really strong here while those guys have been battling injuries. These are problems that good teams have. That this is the world you want to live in, where it's like, oh, they almost have too many weapons that they got to figure out how to get these guys individually going a little bit more. So I think that that's one of the many positives that have come out when you really zoom out. Now, next year, not that we want to start talking about next year, I'm sure it'll be a priority of Ben Johnson within the second year of this offense to get these guys going on a little bit more of a consistent basis and having a little bit more rhythm week to week in terms of not necessarily a hierarchy, because I don't know that you need that defined, but you do want a little bit more consistency from a week to week basis and kind of knowing where you can go. But at the end of the day, Caleb seems to be finding somebody each week, and somebody is having a big game, and that's what you ultimately need. You don't want those games where the offense is just stuck from a passing standpoint across the board, and that's not really been where they've been at this season.
Yeah, where you're trying to force the ball to a particular player. It's just not the kind of football that Caleb Williams plays. You saw him kind of do a certain iteration of that with Keenan Allen last year. Felt like he had to get on the rock, but more often than not, it's that. But it's a testament to Ryan Poles, right? A far cry from where he was a few years ago, where he was just trying to get bodies in the building, and now he's actually able to build depth upon the talent that he has. And Adam, I know you've covered the team a ton, and when I look at this season as a whole, obviously for Bears fans, we look at it and we're like, damn, this is what success looks like. You talked about it, right? These are the luxuries that you have. But I'm curious, what are those differences that you see, right? Because we're experiencing it in real time. So maybe as fans, we're not really picking up what is or what are the biggest differences. You can say the word coaching or culture, but you're there. You see things. What do you feel like is the biggest differences between this Bears team and the previous ones that you've covered?
Yeah, I probably can't cover that all in one answer. We did on Wednesday's episode of Hogan John's. We looked at five different key words and characteristics of this team that are different from last season. But I'll give you two of them. I mean, one is, and it's one of those things that once you start to have, when you don't have it, you talk about it nonstop. And we did talk about it nonstop a year ago. Now that you have it, you almost take it for granted. That's accountability. I mean, they've had accountability across the board with this team, really from day one of OTAs, when you got Ben Johnson yelling at Cole Kmet, one of your veterans on the team, for lining up wrong and having everybody re-huddle and going through those pains in OTAs and training camp. To the point of frustration sometimes, but now you've seen the dividends of that. And you also have a head coach that's not afraid on Monday to be like, that drive on Sunday night that stalled in the field goal, that was on me. My play calling wasn't good enough in that moment. So you've had the accountability that you lacked the last few years under Matt Eberflus, and to the point that we just basically don't talk about it anymore, which is a good thing. The other thing that's really stood out to me, and it goes back to the coaching staff, but I do not remember a year in 15 seasons of covering this team where I've seen as much development within a season. And whether we're talking, these rookies that are coming on pretty strong, or we're just talking about, players like DeMarco Jackson and Deshaun Wright that were, you know, essentially busts or cast offs from other organizations, but were at one point draft picks that those organizations thought they had something. Well, now they come here and they have success. We're used to seeing those players leave Chicago and go somewhere else and have success.
Be cast offs
now
again.
Now it's happening the other way, where they're coming to Chicago and they're finding, whether it's just past coaches that they click with, the scheme, whatever it is, we're seeing actual development in real time with players. And you can go down the list. You could talk about undrafted guys like Theo Benedict. I realize he's not starting anymore. That's still an incredible story. To have a guy go undrafted out of Canada and play meaningful snaps for you at one point this season at left tackle and do a pretty good job. So it that's been remarkable for me, that development that this team has put together this season. That to me is also sustainable and gives you a lot of hope going forward. That's like, wow, wait till you give these guys another offseason and another season. Like, these guys are going to continue to get better and better.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's regardless of the sport, it could be baseball, basketball, football, development is not a word that gets thrown around often in a positive way here in Chicago sports. Adam, I got to ask you before we let you go, you predicted Caleb having some growth. You predicted Jahdae Walker. What predictions you got for this weekend that we might be needing to pay attention to?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess the thing I am curious about is how much does Ben Johnson dip into the bag of tricks this week versus saving it for the playoffs? I got to imagine that when he's, you know, lying awake in bed this week, he's maybe feeling a little bit conflicted on that because he is going up against his former team. He's going up against Dan Campbell. He's probably feeling that urge to get some big trick playoff this week. At the same time, do you want to save those things for the playoffs and the Packers a week from now? But I don't know if you guys remember when they ran Stumblebum against the Bears last year. There was some of the criticism that they actually faced on running that play was, why didn't you save that for the playoffs? Why did you waste that on the horrible Bears? So I don't know how much he actually cares about saving that stuff. In fact, he might want to get it on tape. So I just feel like at some point in this game, whether it's an offensive lineman catching a touchdown pass or something like that, maybe it's getting Tyson Bagent back involved out there with two quarterbacks on the field. We haven't seen that in quite some time. Something in this game, I think you're going to see a wrinkle like that should be pretty fun to watch.
I love it. It's a great prediction, Adam. Thanks for hanging out with us a little bit. Have a happy new year, all right, brother?
Yeah, happy new year, guys.
Happy new year, Adam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a nice job by Caleb identifying man coverage. When he sees the safety's alignment over his tight end, that signifies man coverage. And what do good quarterbacks do? They find their most dependable player on a good matchup. Diggs slips after the quick jam, and that is way too easy right there. 5 yards of separation to the best receiver on this offense. That's as good as it gets for Caleb and Ben Johnson to start the game.
That is Bears stud receiver.
Yeah, did you hear that? Bears stud receiver. Their best receiver, Gabe.
I don't know about best receiver, my friend.
Tom Brady said it. You're going to say the GOAT's
line?
The
best ability is availability. It's Gabe Ramirez, Kate Constable filling in for Raheemy Harrison Grody here on 670 The Score. And the reason why we played that clip is because, Kate, a lot of people are saying, you know, from the beginning of the season and even now that Max Crosby's had this most recent blow up with the Las Vegas Raiders, that DJ Moore could be a perfect trade piece for the Las Vegas Raiders, DJ for Max Crosby. And I would say this, right, because I think DJ is the most important wide receiver on this Bears team, not just because he's healthy and he's a gamer and he wants to win, and I've hung out with him once, not
is
because
cool?
of that.
Cool guy? He seems like a
super
cool guy.
Cool. Super cool. His wife is, or family, they're Puerto Rican.
Oh, that's awesome.
I believe so. Damn,
okay.
I'm
hoping
that right. I'm pretty sure that that's the case.
We'll go with that.
Anyways, the point is this. That's not the reason why I like DJ Moore. Think about the success of the Bears offense in the last several weeks. Think about how pivotal DJ Moore has been, how available DJ Moore has been. In the three most recent games, without Adunze versus the Browns, the Packers, and the Niners, the Bears have put up 31, 22, and 38 points, 361 total yards, 400 total yards, 440 total yards, respectively. Caleb Williams, 242, 250, 330 passing yards, and two touchdowns in each game. All right. I mean, that sounds like some productivity there without Rome Odunze. Now, am I telling you to trade Rome Odunze for Max Crosby? Absolutely not. But I'm saying is that you just want to throw away DJ Moore when you have a Rome Odunze.
I feel like this has been Bears fans have wanted to throw away DJ Moore for the last couple of seasons.
They have, and that's the problem.
Like, what can this guy do to make Bears fans not feel that way?
So how about this? You got a couple minutes. I would love for you to make your case. I would love for you to make your case as to why you think the person traded for Max Crosby, if in effect it happens, that it should be either DJ Moore or Rome Odunze.
It should be DJ Moore.
Why?
I will make my case.
Because of his money?
Because of the money. You have to think about that. Because of where he's at in his career. And I know he's still very young. I mean, young-ish. He's not Rome Odunze young, but he's still within the prime of his career. Now, kind of going towards the back end of that compared to where Rome is at only in his second season. And I know you say that DJ has had a ton of production within this offense over the last couple of weeks, and we can give him a pass against that San Francisco game a little. He was battling the flu.
Sure.
Half the team had the flu. So those, 7 yards of production, not great.
Mm-mm.
But okay, we'll cut the guy some slack.
He's had games like that for sure.
Yeah. But Rome was having games... big games early on in the season when he was playing.
Let me tell you something, Ronda. Here's an incredible stat for you. Okay, this is an incredible mm-hmm. stat for you. Rome Odunze has already missed more games this season than DJ Moore has in the last six.
Ooh,
think about that.
That's tough to come back from.
Think about that. This is DJ Moore has played in 17 games in 21, 22, 23, and 24. This season he's played in 16 of the 17. Rome has already missed more than DJ Moore has missed in six seasons. Like, you're trying to lay claim that Rome Odunze is... Listen, and I want to be very clear. I do not want to trade Rome Odunze. Because the phone lines are going crazy.
Sounds
right
like
now.
You want to trade Rome Odunze, though.
No, what I'm saying is that I don't want you to just so freely want to get rid of DJ Moore. Granted, he's due $24 million. Granted, he's 29 years old. Who cares?
Well, okay.
I want both of them is what I'm trying to say.
So DJ has played 16 games. Rome's played 12. But if you look at the production, DJ has 5 more receptions. Rome has 8 more yards. I mean, they're receiving yards total, 671 for DJ versus 6. Like, going through all of those, it's like he's played, 4 fewer games Rome Odunze has?
Hold on, yet
the production is similar.
Yes, very similar. The only difference is when Rome Odunze was getting that productivity, it's because DJ Moore was on the field. So the safeties were cheating towards DJ Moore. Rome Odunze was the beneficiary of that. The last couple of games without Rome Odunze, DJ Moore doesn't need Rome Odunze. DJ Moore is DJ Moore. Rome Odunze has proven that he needs DJ Moore. We need a game without DJ Moore so we can get some more Rome Odunze. Let's go to the phone lines. This is great. Let's go to Steve out in Crystal Lake, who is a Raiders fan. Steve, I'm curious who you'd rather have on your team, DJ Moore or Rome Odunze.
Neither one of them for Max Crosby, guys. You guys have to understand this. Max Crosby is probably one of the top 2 or 3 premier defensive players in the entire league.
But you're not treating him that way. You're not. You're treating him like a side piece.
Hey, listen to what I'm going to say, guys, okay? they're not going to trade him to a team that is a late draft pick. It's going to have to be a top three, top five pick before the Raiders trade him. And then they're going to have to give up next year's first rounder. Maybe three first rounders for Max Crosby. The Raiders will not let him go.
I love it.
Doesn't matter if he's unhappy. He's not going anywhere for under a top five pick. And even a top five pick, I'll be honest, I wouldn't take it.
I know you wouldn't. Steve, I know you wouldn't because you want five first round picks for Max Crosby. You sound like the Bears did when we were trying to get rid of the first round pick some years ago. 17, if we trade all of our picks, we're going to have Justin Fields and 22 first round picks. You remember that, Sean? You remember that?
Many episode show where we talked about that.
And then you could trade from the first to the third for seven picks. And then you could trade the third pick for 17 more picks. And we're going to have 22.
You just lost me within all of those numbers,
Gabe. So did Steve.
I mean, Micah Parsons was only two first round picks. Granted, they threw in Kenny Clark, but five first rounders.
Listen, take a Dominique Robinson. and Dominique Robinson.
Give him a Zach Pickens, maybe, you know?
Yeah, from the Kansas City Chiefs who's playing. Like, get him, bring him back, give him to you. You know, for a top three pick and some more first rounds is crazy. You'd be lucky to get a DJ Moore for a Max Crosby. Especially you got a disgruntled player. The price has gone down. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
The price didn't go up.
And, I mean, the Raiders are going to be drafting a young quarterback, you would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Having a veteran receiver like DJ Moore would be huge.
And DJ Moore has never been on a winner, so he's used to it, you know. So 630 text in and said, Gabe, when you mentioned this before the break, I said Adunze, and a trade will make Rome's dad happy. See?
I mean,
we're here for the people.
I guess that's a win-win all around.
We're here for the people. Somebody said, Rome has how many drops?
Yeah, that's what the text chat is over and over again. I've seen a couple of them talking about how many drops Rome has and the inconsistency in that.
Sean, I don't know. There's some people that are on this Rome Adunze getting traded thing. They don't want the drama.
Okay, here's one. Does Rome make the winning catch against Green Bay, or is that a DJ Moore only type of grab?
I will say this, and I'm going to be very clear. Okay, prior to Rome Adunze entering the NFL, you know this, Kate, because we did the shows together.
Yes.
We were watching Michael Penix. We were watching Caleb Williams, Drake May, who I was a big fan. We saw this, and you know how much of a fan of Rome Adunze and Pac-12 After Dark I was.
Yeah.
And so I was a huge fan of Rome Adunze. I couldn't believe that the Bears got Rome Adunze. He was, to answer the question, a go-up-and-get-it guy at Washington. So I think he's capable of making that final touchdown catch.
Is there something to be said of, I guess this is more of my argument of keeping Rome, is like you have this young receiving core where everyone's kind of growing together and they can develop together with a fairly young head coach. And I know eventually you have to pay these guys, and so the money doesn't always match up and someone's going to have to go regardless.
But
those first couple of years where they're still on their rookie contracts.
Listen,
with Burton and Loveland and Rome.
You can pat yourself on the back for having a great draft class.
However, it doesn't stick together.
When you got to pay the guys.
That's a little bit.
You might not want to be doing such a good job, because then you're going to be running into that. So maybe that's another little caveat there. You get rid of them, so you got to pay them. You already paid little DJ Morey Mora. And you should be, if you're Ben Johnson, you're the wizard of the offense, you probably could draft another wide receiver. See? Somebody said, maybe Vegas could use Tyson Bajan.
I mean, I actually don't.
Get the agency out there, huh?
All right,
five. Steve and Crystal Lake. Tyson Bajan and Dominique Robinson for Max
Crosby.
We'll do it right now. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez, Kay Constable filling in for Raheemy Harris and Grody right here on 670 The Score. We're having some fun today. If you didn't hear, we're trying to keep things positive about the Bears Lions over the weekend. We're tired of the negativity that we've been hearing all week. So you know what? Let's switch things up. We're going to stay true to Raheemy Harris and Grody. We're going to do a little halftime. All right. Bulls, without Kobe White, without Josh Giddey, got themselves a victory against the lowly New Orleans Pelicans. And then they have to face an Orlando Magic team tonight. Can they duplicate their success? We'll talk a little Bulls for halftime next. Again, it's Gabe Ramirez, Kate Constable, right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, it's because he's swerving, Bill.
What's up?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's halftime.
Halftime here on Raheem Harris and Grody with Gabe Ramirez and Kate Constable filling in. So for those of you that don't know, halftime is exactly what it sounds like. I'll fill you in on what happened on the show so far. And then we break things up with a nice little topic. So on the show so far today, we talked to the people about whether or not they're over the Lions' loss in week two. A lot of people feeling indifferent about that. Some people like Kate and I feel like, let's move on. And others still feel like they want to get this victory in the name of revenge. Then we talked about why the Lions are going to beat the, or excuse me, why the Bears are going to beat the, damn, why the Bears are going to beat the Lions on Sunday. We're all confident across the city, but we got into the why. Then we had an opportunity to talk to Adam Hoge, and we tossed around the idea whether DJ Moore or Rome Odunze would be a better trade target for Max Crosby. But if you ask Steve in Crystal Lake, he'd say neither. You need five first-round picks for that because he's a Raiders fan.
It's halftime.
So, Bulls play the Magic tonight. They got a chance to go 2-0 here a little bit in this little run. What do you think about the Bulls tonight?
Interesting. Bulls taking on Paolo Banchero and the Orlando Magic. You know, I'm going to be talking about them later today. You can catch me on CHSN, the Chicago League. Myself, David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky. We'll be taking you right into Bulls pregame live with Cam Smith, our guy.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, there's some good connections.
There really are.
Cam Smith and Kate used to do a show together as well.
Cam Smith and my husband are working at some high school basketball thing right now. I just got a text. So they're hanging out together. We're hanging out together. You're going to hang out with Cam later.
Good synergy. Good synergy.
Yeah.
So I will be leading you into Bulls pregame live on CHSN. Make sure you check me out. 6 o'clock along, like I said, alongside David Hall and Ruthie Polinsky. But I'll be talking about this game later. And listen, no one thought, including myself, that the Bulls were going to take home of victory against the New Orleans Pelicans. No Giddey, no Kobe White. And they still had Zion Williamson, Jordan Poole, and their draft pick Derek Queen. But what the Bulls do better than any other team in the NBA is play team basketball. When there is no superstar on their squad, on the floor, they flourish because they share the ball. If you would have told me who's going to be the leading scorer for the Bulls against the Pelicans without Kobe White and without Josh Giddey, I would have said Matas or Vooch.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of them. Isaac Okoro, if you watch the game, just good basketball. Right place, right time, layups, being aggressive. He ends up being the leading scorer after going 8-for-10 from the field. Something that he'll probably never do again, Kate. So, will they beat the Orlando Magic? They're only 4-point underdogs, which is wild to me. They were favored against the Pelicans by 1.5. And now they're only 4-point dogs against a team that could be sitting atop the Eastern Conference by the end of the season. So I am neither here nor there with this team. I don't want to put any money on it. I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't know if it's going to go over and they might score a buck 30 like they did against the Pelicans, or it might go under because the Orlando Magic's defense might be too stout for them.
Gabe, if there's anything, it's just that this is going to be a high-scoring game tonight.
Okay.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of defense played, because you made a good point that, yeah, this is a team. This is team basketball when the Bulls have their stars out. Neither of these two teams play defense. And the Magic are a team that typically you're like, okay, that's where they pride themselves on past couple of years. Orlando's defense has been garbage this year. So the Bulls win when you least expect it, and they lose when you expect it. That's kind of the MO, right?
So wild.
I don't know what to expect in this game. What I do know is that there's going to be plenty of offense.
It's the reason why the Bulls are so entertaining to watch.
I mean, think about the they had a back-to-back against a home and away against the Cavs a couple weeks ago.
I can't believe they won that.
They won both of those. They go to Atlanta, and granted, the Hawks aren't a juggernaut. You win both of those, that back-to-back game. Like, they win when you don't really expect it.
I don't get it. I mean, you're talking about a Pelican squad. Zion Williamson scored 31 points. He wants to be a Chicago Bull so bad. Zion Williamson, I feel like he shows out every time he plays the Bulls. And it's just like, get him here. Get him here, even though he's always injured. Get him here, because I think he'd be perfect on this team. But, yeah, the Bulls, it's just interesting, right? You got guys like Trey Jones. Somebody tweeted out that he was the only player ever in NBA history to have the stat line he had and go 7-for-7, where he had 12 assists, 20 points, 12 assists, went 7 for 7 from the field. He was the only player ever to do that. Trey Jones, a phenomenal pickup. But again, who's going to handle the rock if Kobe White's not there? If Josh Giddey's not being aggressive on the offense? It's Trey Jones, 12 mm-hmm. assists. I mean, this is a guy that was a throw-in with the trade last year when they sent everybody everywhere, Zach LaVine and such. So, like, to have him here playing meaningful minutes, Matas Buzelis, you saw him put up 17 shots leading the team. That's what he needs to do while both Kobe and Josh Giddey are out. He needs to be aggressive, and he has been. But damn, team basketball, you Bulls, damn you, winning games that you shouldn't be winning.
I love the Jones brothers. Like, okay. They are oftentimes the throw-ins, but they are so consistent.
They are.
Like, Tyus Jones doesn't turn the ball over. His assist-to-turnover ratio, I believe, led the league last season. Of looking at the box score against New Orleans, like, all the starters were plus in their plus minus. I mean, Jalen Smith, he got sticks, a plus so 21, good. Okoro, plus 31. The only player on the Bulls that really was like a bad negative was Dalen Terry. I need to see more from him. 10 minutes, 0 for 3. Dalen Terry, these are your opportunities, bud, dude, to step up.
If Julian Phillips is not getting ticked, this is the time for you to go ahead and handle business. But again, Bulls tonight host the Magic at the United Center. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45. Tip-off at 7 here on 670. The Score on the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network. Powered by Heli Forklifts, of course, Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, and one of our favorites, Alyssa Bergamini.
Alyssa.
We'll be on the call tonight, so make sure that you go ahead and check them out. Bulls, the line's already moved.
Yeah, 5.5 now.
It was 4.5. Now it's 5.5. I'm saying people are picking up what I'm... The game's at home today, so the United Center... That's one thing I'll say, man. When I do the Chicago lead on CHSN, we open up the windows.
Yeah.
And so we get the crowd behind us. One thing that people don't do enough in the city of Chicago and just sporting events as a whole, getting to the stadium early.
Coming to watch the show.
They spend thousands of dollars to entertain you before the game. And then you're like... What time is it? 6:45? All right, let's leave the house.
Let's rush to our seats, get there right as the anthem's playing.
It's like, and you love, dude, you feel like, because you know what it is? We feel like if we get there any earlier, we're wasting our life.
I mean, the Chicago Bulls experience, the fan experience is among the best in the league.
Yes.
Go be a part of it.
Yes, and we are one of the best experiences in Chicago radio. And the moment, it is Gabe Ramirez and Kate Constable hanging out with you here on 670 The Score, filling in for Raheemy Harris and Grody. And up next, we're going to stay true to their show and do 5 on it. Right? We got some questions about the Bears heading into this weekend against the Lions. And then we also have one question at the end that even you can answer. And it has to do with New Year's and maybe what you were eating on the couch yesterday. All right. 5 on it is next. Do not go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez, Kate Constable, filling in for Raheemy Harris and Grody right here on The Score.
It's halftime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.